From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump campaigned on a promise of a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. A deal there hasn't materialized yet. But maybe the national conversation on infrastructure is missing something, according to Eric Kleinenberg, sociologist and author of a new book, Palaces for the People. He says we need to think not just about roads and bridges, but about what he calls social infrastructure. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
What is social infrastructure?
It's the physical places and organizations that shape the way we interact. And when it's robust, we're much more likely to engage one another and build relationships. When it's degraded and neglected, we're much more likely to be on our own.
So what's an example? Like a library, I would think?
I think of the library as the best possible kind of social infrastructure. It's a remarkable institution that has a physical space that welcomes everyone. And it's got all kinds of programs that will draw people into situations that they might not otherwise have a chance to participate in.
You mentioned some of the effects of having robust social infrastructure, but are there economic effects? I mean, does that translate into economic well-being?
Very much so, because social infrastructure is the kind of thing that draws us out into the world where we'll not only engage with one another, but we're also likely to participate in economic activity. This social infrastructure is just as real as the infrastructure for power or for water, and there are all kinds of ways that we can support it through government programs and through investment.
You mentioned it can be an economic driver, but you also found neighborhoods that were on par economically, but still had different amounts of social infrastructure. What would explain that?
There are places and cities around the country that are very poor, but still benefit from community gardens and active religious organizations, nice parks. And the people who live in those places are likely to be healthier, with longer life expectancy and better capacity to survive crises like hurricanes or heat waves than are people who live in comparably poor neighborhoods, but who don't have that social infrastructure to support them.
As you mentioned, social infrastructure encompasses a lot of things, you know, libraries, public spaces, even certain types of businesses like cafes that bring people together. How do you promote something so broad?
We can build simple walls, for instance, and drainage systems, or we can understand that social infrastructure can be built into those systems. We not only protect ourselves from the storm, we also improve the quality of life every day. And understanding that infrastructure can involve social infrastructure gives us a whole new menu of possibilities for making the places we live work better while at the same time keeping us safe.
Eric Kleinenberg, author of Palaces for the People, How Social Infrastructure Can Help Fight Inequality, Polarization, and the Decline of Civic Life. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.